Hey, everyone, welcome to church this weekend. You glad to be here? So glad you've joined us. All of our locations here in Newark and Hokesson, all of you watching online, glad you are along for the ride this weekend. And if you're here for the first time, you chose a great weekend to join us. We are starting a brand new series. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But we're wrapping up Love Week, as you heard, and so proud of all of you all week long, been serving outside our walls to make a difference in our communities. We do that all year long, but this is a week we set aside just to make a difference together, all of us during one week, and it's been remarkable. Love the way you're serving and then disappearing into the crowd just like Jesus did, so that all the focus stays on him. And then in just 2 weeks, our week of prayer is coming up. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. If you are new to our church, we have two seasons of the year that we focus especially on prayer. Prayer is another thing we do all year long, but we have two seasons we focus on it. And in August, we do a week of prayer every evening, weeknight evening, Monday through Friday. We'll come together as a church family. We'll be praying and asking God for his best for this coming fall in our lives and our families and in our communities. And it's going to be a great week. So make plans to join us for that. And then September 24th, we launch our Middletown location, everybody. Yeah, I'm fired up about this. And I'll tell you more about that toward the end of the message as well. But for today, we are starting this series about how God wants to empower us to live more meaningful and fulfilling lives. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. This is kind of part two, if you will, of two series. This summer, we just finished a series called Settled, all about settling it when it comes to what we believe about Jesus and building our lives on the foundation of what God has to say. And now we're going to talk about how to live that out. So when I was a kid, I was into video games. I don't know how many of us were into video games when you were a kid, or maybe you're a student, you're into video games. Maybe you're not a student and you're really into video games. No judgment, okay? But I was very much into video games, and the ones that I preferred all have one thing in common, and that is that at some point during the game, you had to find a way to power up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You had to look for these little things that you would get, and you would power up. Maybe your health was depleted, or you were injured. You had to find a little health power up, or maybe you're about to face an enemy that you didn't have enough skills or weapons to defeat, and so you'd have to find a way to power up. And as video game-like as all that is, man, I have learned and am continuing to learn that it's not that different from my real life, in that I am always in need of a power-up. I go through seasons where I get depleted, discouraged, distracted. I've even felt that way recently, had some moments of just kind of down and not really focused the way that I want to be. Anybody else? Can anybody relate to that? And I find that I'm looking for a way to power up. And I think we all are, whatever we believe about God or faith, whatever your background with church has been leading up until now, we're all looking for a way to power up. Some of us power up through caffeine. How many of us turn to caffeine to power up? Yeah. You're like, I just had some. Some of us turn to exercise. We're trying to power up. I was talking to somebody recently who's like an ultra marathon runner. He's trying to power up through running marathons. I am an ultra marathon runner as well. Over the course of a year, I will have traveled all of the miles that are in a marathon. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, moving right along. Some of us, we turn to meditation, perhaps. Some of us, we turn to our career to power up, or our friendships. Maybe we turn to money or success in this life. Maybe some of us have powerful affirmations, words of affirmation we repeat to ourselves every day. But so often, we still sense that there's more to life and that there could be more to us. There could be more going on inside of us that would have a bigger impact on the outside of us. So the question is, what part does God play in that? What is the power of God? And what about this whole thing? You heard us just a few minutes ago during worship talking about the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does that have to do with the power we need to thrive in this life? And if we have any of those questions, we're not the first people to wonder that. When Jesus' disciples were hanging out with him right before he left the earth, they were asking Jesus questions about what would happen next. So Jesus had spent 3.5 years leading his disciples, going about preaching and healing and doing miracles. And now he went to the cross. He's risen again. He's hanging out with his disciples right before he's about to leave the earth. And they're going, okay, tell us what the future holds. Like, you know everything. Tell us. Because they thought that if they had more certainty around the future and their role in it, that they could be more confident and bold and full of hope. But instead of answering their questions, and by the way, how many of us, maybe we've gone to God like that? God, I want to know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and when you're going to do it by. How many of us? And how many of us at times have been disappointed because God's like, actually, I'm going to give you just enough faith to take the next steps, how God works, right? So Jesus, instead of answering all their questions about the future, tells them and us that the most important thing that's going to happen is that they're about to power up. Here's what he says in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, you will receive power. You will receive power. And that word receive is fascinating as we talk about this, because I think for a lot of us, when we think about feeling empowered and we think about finding the power that we need to thrive in life, we tend to think about unlocking some power that's already inside of us, right? Like if we could just reach deep down and find it within ourselves, pull ourselves up by our own efforts, maybe cultivate some positive energy. Some of us think, I just need to cultivate positive energy. We get on I-95 and we think, okay, I'm cultivating negative energy. I need to go back to, just got to cultivate positive energy. And we think about finding the power within ourselves. And there is some truth to that. Human beings have a lot of power already. We are capable of amazing things. There's a lot to the self-talk that we do and the ability that we have to dig deep and find it within ourselves to accomplish significant things. But that is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about another kind of power that his disciples don't have yet. It's not hidden within them. They can't unlock it through just the right meditations or positive energy or anything like that. Instead, he says, you're going to receive this power. They have found Jesus. They put their faith in him. They believed in him. Now they're going to need to power up in order to follow Jesus fully. So Jesus says, you will receive power, to which we would probably say, like the disciples were probably thinking, well, how are we going to receive power and when? And here's what he says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is how it's going to happen. This is when it's going to happen. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, what does that mean? If you're not sure what you think about Jesus yet, you might be a little bit weirded out by the Holy Spirit coming upon anyone, including you. You're like, what is that? And I get it if you feel that way. If you're thinking, like, does he come upon us? Like, we come around a corner, and, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. You know, he just came upon us. We were just so shocked, couldn't believe it happened. What does this mean, the Holy Spirit will come upon you? Well, the Holy Spirit is God's presence and power. And what Jesus is saying is that we cannot thrive in following Jesus. We cannot live this life of following Jesus successfully solely in our own power. In fact, let me say something that might mess with some of us a little bit. Before we knew Jesus, when we didn't have our sins forgiven and our future secure, we didn't have a real relationship with God, we may have been able to exist without the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we begin to follow Jesus, we start swimming upstream against forces that are at work in this world. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us keep our head above the water and to help us really live this life. So Jesus has died on a cross to forgive our sins. He has risen again. And now he's telling his disciples and us that the Holy Spirit, God's presence and power, is going to come upon them and us. In other words, it's not something we can just find within ourselves. It really is the presence and power of God. And the result of the Holy Spirit coming is that we will power up. And if you read the next chapter in Acts, which I would encourage you to do this week, I think it'd be a great way to kind of prepare your life, prepare your heart for what God wants to speak to us throughout these next few weeks. If you read Acts chapter 2, you read about how it happened. There were 120 of these first followers of Jesus, believers in Jesus. They were gathered in a large upstairs room, and they waited and prayed for a week and a half. We're going to, in just a couple of weeks, have a week of prayer. These disciples came together and they prayed and they waited for God to work. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And there were signs. There were physical signs. The sound of a great wind. What appeared to be flames of fire resting upon these people as they prayed. People suddenly having the ability to speak in languages that they had never learned before. And some of those signs have never, at least in my experience, been repeated. Some of those signs have been repeated and people still experience them. But here's what we need to know. Whether the outward signs are the same or not, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, listen, is for everyone who believes in Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus needs the power of the Holy Spirit. But some of us are hesitant. We're hesitant to really open ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, it might be because we have experienced some things or seen some things with church or Christians in the past that turned us off. Maybe we've let the misuse of God's power turn us off to God. And that's unfortunate because Jesus clearly wants all of us to have his power. Don't let your past experience determine your present experience and the future experience that God has for you. Maybe for some of us, we are hesitant to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's power because we don't really see our need. If we're honest, some of us are thinking, you know, my life isn't fantastic, but it's not awful. And I'm doing okay without the Holy Spirit's power. I'm good. My biggest need is trying to figure out where to eat after this. I don't need the Holy Spirit's power. I just need a restaurant without a wait time. Can the Holy Spirit do that? If so, come upon me. Like, fill me. I'm game for that, but I don't really have like a big need for the Holy Spirit. Some of us treat God like a 911 operator instead of a daily empowering presence in our lives. Like I know he's there if I need to call, but we don't recognize that God wants to be in our lives every day. Maybe we think the Holy Spirit is only for experienced Christians. Some of us are going, oh, once I reach the 10-year mark, then the Holy Spirit will come upon me. I'll be very mature. I'll be very sophisticated in my faith. Can I just tell you, I know some Christians who have reached a lot longer mark than that and still are not mature in their faith, okay? But we're thinking this is for experienced people. But I think as important as many of those reasons and hesitations are, I don't think they're the biggest one. I think the biggest reason that most of us do not surrender our lives fully to the Holy Spirit's power is because we, myself included, like being in control too much. We love the illusion of control. And we like to think, how many of us recently, maybe within the past even week or two, have been reminded suddenly, shockingly, uncomfortably, that we are not in control? How many of us have had? I had one within the last 24 hours. Once I am de-traumatized, it will become a message illustration. I'm still a little shaky from it. But I had an experience within the last 24 hours when I realized, man, my life could be gone just like that. I do not ultimately have control. And I think because we like the illusion of control, we don't want to give the Holy Spirit control. And by the way, being empowered by the Holy Spirit does not mean we lose all control in an unhealthy way. But it does mean we have to decide to let go of our desire to control our own lives and control our future so that God can be in control. And for many of us, it's a non-starter because, again, we enjoy the illusion of control too much. And so we're missing out because you know what? God won't force himself on us. He really won't. Now, religious people sometimes force themselves on us. But God will not force himself on us. He is respectful of our level of surrender. And he will not infringe indefinitely on our unwillingness to submit and surrender to his control. As long as we have to be in control, he will not force his way in. But if we would ask, if we would humble ourselves, if we would say, God, I need you. I'm inviting you in. Holy Spirit, I want you to come upon my life, then we could experience more of his power. And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. This is for all of us. All of us need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to thrive in your life, if you want to experience everything God has for you, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to power up? There are a lot of reasons. We need the Holy Spirit to replenish us when our health, spiritually speaking, is depleted. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us that we're not alone. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to equip us to win spiritual battles that we face in this life. All of those are very important reasons. We're going to talk about some of them over the next few weeks. But they are actually, none of them, are actually the first purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus. Because Jesus says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. He says, you're going to power up, and it's actually going to give you the strength to play the game that matters most in life. But it's not going to be the thing that you think matters most in life. You're going to think what matters most, he's saying to all of us, is your problems being solved and your needs being met and your situations being resolved. But really, the most important purpose that I want to give you power to accomplish is to tell people about me everywhere. Several years ago, I witnessed a car accident, and I've seen a few over the years, but I was right there when this one happened, and thankfully, everyone was okay. It was a very serious-looking accident, but thankfully, everyone was all right, and I stayed until the police arrived, and I received, not long after, a summons to appear in court to testify. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. It's only happened to me once. I was summoned to be a witness, and I got to be honest with you. I was pretty excited. Not gonna lie. I wanna reiterate, everyone was okay in the accident. But I was like, oh man, I see so many courtroom dramas, you know? I was like, this is my opportunity. And I kind of pictured myself, you know, showing up to court, put my good shirt on, showing up to court. And then when my time came, Your Honor, it was a partly cloudy day. When the defendants, you know, I just could kind of picture this amazing moment when I was going to be a witness. Now, it's the most anticlimactic story ever. Because before I ever got up to tell what happened, the case was dismissed. So the police officer arrived at the scene, had issued the wrong citation, and on a technicality, case was dismissed, never got my moment. Still waiting for my, hope I don't have to see an accident, I don't want that to happen, but still waiting for my moment to be in court with my good shirt on, ready to be a witness. And that's exactly how some of us think about sharing our faith in Jesus. We think it's some big moment we gotta ramp up for. It's like, okay, man, I haven't said anything about Jesus for 7 years, 4 weeks, 2 days, and 4 hours, but today's the day. Put my good shirt on. And we get all ramped up. Come on, have you ever felt like, okay, this is it. I'm finally ready. I finally got all my fears resolved, and I'm ready to share my faith, to talk about what Jesus has done in my life. And then before you got to testify, the conversation was dismissed, and the moment was missed. Have you been there? And you're like, I guess I got to wait 9 more years until I get summoned again. All of us who believe in Jesus, listen. He's summoning us every day. We have been instructed to appear every day in the court of public opinion and public need and public searching. And we have been instructed to take the stand every day of our lives and to reveal who Jesus is. Not just in big moments where we take center stage and everything else gets quiet around us. I don't know about you, but I don't even have those moments. It's in those everyday moments, which is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Some of us feel intimidated by cultural pressures opposing Christianity. Some of us feel worried about offending people. We don't want to infringe on anybody. We don't want to put our worldview on someone else. Can I tell you, can I relieve some of that for us? We don't need to go around telling people what they need to do for God. We just need to be willing to tell people what God has done and is doing for us. That our lives are being changed because we know Jesus. We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We go through many of the same things that people who don't know Jesus go through, but we have a hope, we have a help, we have a strength because we have Jesus in our lives, and we are witnesses, and we can be witnesses in powerful ways. We can be witnesses by showing hospitality to our neighbors. We can be witnesses by serving people in need like we've been doing all week long during Love Week. We don't have to prove a point. We just need to take the stand day after day and be willing to testify. And here's the thing. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are already a witness. The only question is, are you a reliable one? But you are one. Some of us are going, oh, I'm not a witness yet because I'm not ready to be a witness. You're already one. People are already deciding based on how you and I live our lives what to think of Jesus. And that's not you say, whoa, that's a lot of pressure. It's only a lot of pressure if you don't have power that comes from outside of you that has filled you, that gives you the power not to live a perfect life. And that's not what people are looking for, by the way. But to live a life that is genuine and real and grows closer to God every day and is willing to share. The Holy Spirit empowers us to tell people about Jesus everywhere. Remember, these are the last words Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves. And he's saying, I'm not sending the Holy Spirit just so you can have powerful moments for your own sake, as great as those are. He's saying, I'm sending the Holy Spirit so you can live powerful lives for the sake of others, so they can experience what you've experienced, so you can invest in relationships with people who don't know me and invite them to experience what you've experienced so people can hear about Jesus everywhere. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do things we wouldn't ordinarily do. One of our J groups here came up with the idea to pass out journey backpacks that they filled with supplies and snacks. And they would, whenever someone in this J group sees somebody on the side of the road, perhaps needing help, someone experiencing homelessness, they stop, ask that person's name, say a prayer with them in Jesus' name, and give them that backpack. And this past Monday, in just a few hours, I saw three different people in three different places in our region with one of those journey backpacks. You say, what a creative idea. No, what a Holy Spirit idea. He empowers us to do things we wouldn't ordinarily do. Not only that, but he empowers us to go places we wouldn't ordinarily go. You've been doing it all week long. You've been in recovery centers and community outreach facilities and schools, serving, making a difference. For many of you, going places you wouldn't ordinarily go. But you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit through Love Week. You're making a difference in our communities. I met a man here last weekend and found out a little bit more about his story, that he discovered our church because he was in a recovery center, struggling in the grips of addiction, trying to get clean and get sober, and our production team came up with a way to stream our gatherings into that recovery center. So he started watching our gatherings here in that recovery center, got clean, got out of the recovery center, came here, became a part of this community of faith, is serving here to help other people experience Jesus. You say, wow, look at what the production team did. Wow, look at what the Holy Spirit did, because the production team was willing to go somewhere we wouldn't ordinarily go. It was a Holy Spirit idea. And then not only that, the Holy Spirit empowers us to say words we wouldn't ordinarily say. He wants to expand our vocabulary. For some of us, he also wants to reduce parts of our vocabulary. Let that speak to you as you will. He wants to change our vocabulary. Followers of Jesus are called to speak life. You know, one of the biggest things the enemy wants to do is take the power of life out of your tongue, out of your mouth. He wants to get you speaking negative things, judgmental things, death-bringing words, because he knows there's so much power when you and I just start speaking life. The Holy Spirit wants to give us the power to speak words of hope and grace and invitation. I had an opportunity already this weekend to just talk to somebody who was dealing with shame over something in their life. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just gave me a word of life and hope, and it's not over. That's what he wants to do. And so often I feel the pressure to have the perfect thing to say. Anybody else feel that way? Sometimes you're like, I gotta wait till I have the perfect thing to say. You say, well, it's easy for you, you're a pastor. Actually, no, that just means more exposure if I get it wrong. That's what that means. But I feel this pressure. I've got to have the perfect thing to say before I can do what Jesus has called me to do, which is tell people about him everywhere. Listen, I don't need perfect words. You don't need perfect words. We just need the courage to say something, to just pay attention to a small nudge, to take a risk and start a conversation, because the Holy Spirit wants to give us power to say things we wouldn't ordinarily say. And that is an empowered life. When you start doing some things you wouldn't ordinarily do, and going some places you wouldn't ordinarily go, and saying some things you wouldn't ordinarily say, because the power of the Holy Spirit is filling your life. Jesus says, listen, I'm leaving. That's what he's telling his disciples. Physically, I'm leaving the earth. Physically, my physical hands won't be here to help the hurting anymore. My physical feet won't be here to find the forsaken, and my physical mouth won't be here to speak to the searching. So may I please borrow your hands, borrow your feet, and borrow your mouth so that I can continue to serve through you. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, I'm going to give you power. When you think you can't serve anymore, I'm going to give you power. When you think you can't forgive that person, I'm going to give you power. When you think you can't step up to that opportunity because you're scared, I'm going to give you power. And again, he wasn't just talking to pastors or church staff members. In fact, if you're not one of those, you have a distinct advantage. Daily, authentic opportunities to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus yet, and to invite them, to invest in those relationships and invite them to experience God with you. You can power up when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you can be his witnesses. We can be his witnesses, telling people about Jesus everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, none of us live in those places that Jesus names. But we live somewhere. Your city has a name. Your development has a name. Your neighborhood has a name. We live somewhere, and it starts there. I love this about Jesus. He could have just said, you're going to receive power. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and you're going to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. But he gets very specific with these particular disciples, and he wants to get very specific with us. And he names the city they are in, the province it's a part of, an adjoining place, Samaria, that they would probably not want to go, and then to the ends of the earth. Sometimes as Christians, we get fired up about the ends of the earth because that's safe. Jesus says, that's not where I want you to start. I want you to start where you live right now. And he names Jerusalem, which was a city, again, that was in a province called Judea, a larger area. And God has done that for our church over the past few years. Our church started in Newark, but God has given us a vision for a larger area for our region. We call it Journey City. It's a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location here in Newark. 1.8 million people live in that circle. And that's our Judea. We're just committed as a church. We want everyone in that circle to hear the life-giving good news about Jesus and what he can do. And we know we're not going to do it alone, by the way. We're not the only church in that circle. There are so many great life-giving churches. It's not just us, but the word won't get spread nearly as well without us. We have a part to play. We have a vision. We have a responsibility. And here's what I know. You probably didn't wake up this morning thinking about that. You probably didn't wake up this morning and your first thought was, how do I tell people about Jesus everywhere? Now, if you did, way to go, you are living the dream. But for many of us, you didn't wake up this morning going, okay, my primary purpose today, most important thing in my life, is to make sure that everybody I come into contact with can hear about Jesus, can experience the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. And Jesus knew that about us. He knew that we would be distracted at times. He knew that we would be overwhelmed at times with our own problems and issues. And that's why he's so clear, so that we would be reminded. He says, you're gonna need to power up, and this is why. And then he begins to name the city they're in and the province they're in and the area next to that that he's gonna want them to go to. And that's what Jesus is doing right here during this series, during this time in the life of our church, It's what Jesus wants to do for you. Whether you're brand new to your faith or you've been following Jesus for a few months or a few years or a few decades, this is the primary purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, to empower you to tell people about Jesus everywhere. You say, but doesn't God have more for me? Yes, he does. And I think sometimes we miss out on everything that God would want to give us because we're not willing to start where Jesus started with the purpose of the power. He says, I want you to start here. I've got more for you, but you need to know what the more is for. The more isn't just for you. It's so that you can tell people about me everywhere. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to empower you. He wants to empower you to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do. For some of you today, maybe that's as simple as coming back next weekend as we continue this series. You wouldn't ordinarily do that. You wouldn't ordinarily go to church two weekends in a row. But the Holy Spirit's just gonna go, hey, here's a little nudge. And he won't force himself. Like if you find something else to do, if you get distracted, he won't force himself. But if you made the decision, you could invite more of God into your life. Maybe it's to come to Plugged In this weekend at your location. Find your place and become a part of this community of faith. Maybe it's to lead a J group this fall or to show up every evening of week of prayer and to just go deeper with God. He wants to empower you. Do it. Take the next step. He wants to empower you to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do because that's what God's more is for. He wants to empower you to go places you wouldn't ordinarily go. So if you live or work south of the canal, in 7 weeks, we're starting our Middletown location. And I want to challenge you, join the Middletown launch team. That's your city. We're not just starting a location in Middletown so that you have a choice about how far you drive. We're starting it so you can make a difference in your city. So get involved in that launch team. There are launch team meetings all month long. You can go to our website or our app, talk to somebody in a red t-shirt at your location if you're here in person. If you want to know more, type something in the comments online and our host will get you the information you need. But join that launch team. Be a part of what God is doing because the Holy Spirit wants to give you power to go places you wouldn't ordinarily go. And then finally, he wants to give you power to say words you wouldn't ordinarily say. So who is it this week that you can be a witness to? And it doesn't have to be some big moment. You don't have to be wearing your good shirt. It doesn't have to be some big shining moment. You just start the conversation. Invest in the relationship. Invite that person to experience God with you. That's what God's more is for. And if you believe in Jesus, during this series, we're gonna power up together. We're gonna experience more of God together. God does have more for you. This isn't all God has for you, but it is where he starts. It starts with knowing why. The Holy Spirit gives you power to play the game that matters most in this life, and that is telling people about Jesus everywhere. And when you power up, it's fun, it's fulfilling, your life has purpose. And if week one of the series, you would say, man, I'm in, I want more of God's presence and power this month. I want to experience what God has for me. Would you be willing to just raise your hand all over the room here in Newark and Hokesson and lift it up high? Online, you can do that right where you are. And then would you open your life up to God big with me right now? Just yield control to God. Let me pray this over us. Holy Spirit, we sang it earlier. We meant it. You're welcome here. And you're not just welcome in the room we're in. You're not just welcome in our church as a whole. You are welcome in me. Come on, would you tell him that? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. I want you to come upon me. I want your power to fill my life. I want to be able to do things I wouldn't ordinarily do and go places I wouldn't ordinarily go and say words I wouldn't ordinarily say. Fill me with your power. I'm inviting you in today. And during this series and this time in the life of our church, God, would you fill us up with everything you have for us? We receive it today. We're believing you for it today in Jesus' name. And while you let the Holy Spirit just work in your heart for a moment more, listen, if you're in the room, one of our physical locations, you're watching online right now, if you don't know God in a real way for yourself, I want you to think about this, that the last thing Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves this earth is that he's gonna give them power to tell everybody about him. Think about that. The reason Jesus has called Christians, people who believe in him, to spread the word is because of how much you matter to God. And he's called us to do everything we can to make sure you have an opportunity to hear about Jesus and what he can do. You matter that much to God that the last thing on Jesus' mind before he left this earth is that you would hear a message like this. And if today you want to begin following Jesus, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step, to put your faith in Christ. So I want everyone to join me again. Just open your life up big to God. And if that's you, you want to begin following Jesus, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith. Something like this. It can be simple. Pray from your heart. You can use these words if it helps you. But pray from your heart with faith. Jesus, today I give my life to you. I surrender control. I believe you died to forgive my sins, and that through you I can have the power to live. Save me today. I want to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I'm praying that prayer, I'm taking that step, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, would you lift your hand and just hold it up high and boldly? All over the room here in Newark and Hocasset, hold that hand up high. If you're watching online right now, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on, share that with us. And then everybody, can we give Jesus all the praise? Would you do that with me? Let's thank him together.